greetings, salutations, and other words of invocation and welcome. This episode is our second edition of our audio spellbook, which is a way for you to share your spells with others and to hear what others out there are doing with their magic. This time around, we asked folks to send in their works of everyday magic. Spells using simple components you probably have on hand already. Spells that require just a little chant or gesture. And spells that are good at meeting your immediate needs. There are not a lot of embellishments in this little oral grimoire, and the spells you hear are direct and to the point. If you need to sweeten someone up on the fly, to keep your car under the radar, somewhat literally, as you drive to work, or draw up a little extra cash to pay off some bills, we've got some magic for you in this episode. You'll also hear a bit of music to round things out, and to give you some time to absorb the spells. And I'll be sharing a Virginia folktale about some simple folk magic that went awry, too. So with all that being said, let's turn to the soot-stained and candle-greased page and see what witchy delights our friends have brought to our little hearth fire tonight.
Hi, I am leaving a spell for the contest, the Everyday Magic contest. But the spell that I use that's everyday items is something that I saw in a dream once, which I'm sure is as cliche as someone could possibly say when leaving one of these things. But it's very simple. It's literally things that I have either left over from holidays or just hanging around my house. So it's a materialization spell. I used it to get a job, and then I used it to get a raise in the same job that I got from the first place. So the things you'll need for the spell are a ceramic bowl, although you could probably use a glass bowl or a stoneware bowl or anything vaguely natural-ish, although glass isn't really natural, but it should be fine. You need some kind of a bowl, a mirror that is large enough for the bowl to sit on, 2 white candles, paper, and salt. And what I did was I filled the bowl with salt. I used sea salt, which I like for flavoring food better, much more than table salt, so I had a lot of sea salt on hand. Throw it in the bowl, make it kind of nice and even, put the bowl on top of the mirror with both candles on either side, get a piece of paper and write down what it is you want to materialize. And what I wanted to bring was very specific. It was a specific company, a very specific position within the company. And I wrote that down, put it in the very center of the bowl, lit both white candles, and let it sit there on top of the mirror overnight until the candles burned down. I stayed awake until the candles burned down. They were just tea lights, so it didn't take very long. Don't let candles burn overnight. Your house will burn down. Unless you have some way of watching it. And literally the next day, not only did I get a call back from the company that I had interviewed with, but I also got a call back from another company that I had interviewed with like 2 months beforehand that I thought I completely bombed the interview in and got told like, no, we just lost your contact information, probably a lie, but whatever. Got 2 job offers from that.
owe all the money that e'er I had. I spent it in good company. Oh, all the harm that e'er I done. Alas, it was to none but me. And all I've done for want of wit to memory now I can't recall. So fill to me the parting glass. Farewell and joy be with you all. Oh, all the friends that e'er I had.
Hi, Corey. Hi, Lane. One really practical, everyday magic thing you can do that I found really useful and effective is if somebody's getting on your nerves and you want to curse them or do some bane work, but only really mildly, you can make a sigil of their name and put it on the inside of a matchbook, and then every time you strike one of the matches, you envision that they are getting burned a little bit, and it'll just cause them a little bit of annoyance throughout their day. But it can also be used as a bigger part of bane work. If you wanted to incorporate it in a ritual, you could light your candles with those matches, or anything else that you need to burn, like a poppet or an image of them, and it'll strengthen the effects of the magic. And that is really effective to cause a minor annoyance in somebody that's causing you problems in your day-to-day. And if you want to check out any more spells or anything about tarot cards, you guys can check me out at Kyle the Tarot Reiki Guy on YouTube. All right, have a great one.
Hi guys, this is Corey. This is a spell I am getting from a book called A Spiritual Worker's Spellbook by Draya Mekaharitz. We've mentioned Draya's work several times on the show. It's a really neat sort of mix of different kinds of folk magic. A lot of it is very similar to hoodoo-style work. A lot of it has some European influences as well. Just has a good sort of general folk magic approach to things. I'm including this one. I had a few spells that I wanted to include that are more of my personal spells, but this is just one I think is a really great spell that you can do with something very, very simple, very, very easy to do. And it combines sort of this almost meditative act of walking with the act of very, very, very mild, not quite hex even, but sort of restriction of somebody that's causing trouble in your life. And I just think that's it's an interesting approach, and I just wanted to share that with you tonight. So this is a spell called Protecting Yourself from Negative People. Daria says that one of his students gave him the spell, and he's used it for others on several occasions. He says, it always seems to successfully protect the one using it from those who might try and impress their will upon them. Take a photograph of the person you're seeking protection from and a new spool of black sewing thread. Go for a walk, wrapping the black thread around the photograph of the person until you've wound the entire spool of black thread around the photograph. Now return home and place the photograph somewhere among your other finished spells. And forget about it. The person can no longer reach you with their thoughts or their magic. The spell will work quite effectively on almost all people. The few it will not block completely will find their efforts considerably weakened if the spell is done. In one case, the person whose efforts had been seriously weakened by the spell even complained about it to the one who had done the spell. It's just one of those spells I think is so fantastic because it's just so, so simple. You know, it may seem slightly wasteful to use up a whole spool of black thread on a spell, but you know, black thread is not crazy expensive. You can get it fairly cheaply, there's something about the idea of you walking and winding the whole time just really appeals to me in terms of being able to sort of restrain somebody. You know, this is one of those things. There have been, you know, not to make this too contemporary or anything like that, there have been a lot of discussions going around about, you know, the role of hexing, the role of, you know, doing what some people would call negative magic out in the world, of folk magic, of witchcraft, and so forth. This is just one of those things, I think, is, you know, it doesn't cross any lines for, you know, you're not actually doing any harm to somebody in any way. The only thing you're doing is binding in their magic to keep it from getting to you. You're just kind of creating a really, really sturdy barrier between you and them. And I just think that's a good approach. The walking, like I said, has this meditative, trance-like quality. I'm also a big fan of walking. I think walking is a phenomenal way to kind of change your headspace. It's one of the ways I kind of do some of my sort of witchy ritual work is, you know, walking until I find the place I need to be to do my work. So this whole process of walking is really, really good. Anyway, that's just something really, really simple I thought would be a great spell to share with you guys tonight. So I hope you find some use for it, and yeah.
Hey guys, this is Lane. My spell is a simple little charm that can be said when you've lost something around the house. I've used it for shoes, keys, the remote, and even just more random things that sometimes go missing. This was written by a friend of mine in high school. It was very off the cuff, and she just kind of spouted it out when we were looking for something, and it's worked really well for us ever since. So, usually I will kind of stop wherever I am after I've been looking for a little while, close my eyes, and either say under my breath or out loud. I seek an object that's been lost, to find it where it last was tossed. This item that's been tossed around, what once was lost must now be found.
Hey folks, this is Victoria, calling in from Pennsylvania. So it's not really so much a spell as a magical cleaning procedure, but what I've found to be pretty darn effective is empowering bay leaves, basil, rosemary, crushing it all together, and then adding a little bit of powdered cinnamon just as a general house cleaning sort of protective magic thing. Because most of my place is all carpets at this point, I use it as a carpet sprinkle and then make sure that I'm simply vacuuming it all up after sitting for about a half hour in a clockwise manner. It tends to clear out all the nasties that kind of sort of come around when you're not being real careful or just making your house smell great. But so that's my little magical sort of pseudo spell. Hope you all try it out and get some good reaction. Either that or just make your house smell like you baked cinnamon cookies. Thanks. Bye.
Hey y'all, this is Kia Brandon-Shianuk, and I'm leaving my entry to the audio spellbook. So my entry is a modern and safe take on fixed nutmeg, which, as you all probably know, is a nutmeg that has been filled with mercury. But nutmegs aren't really designed to contain mercury safely, so my way of doing it is a little bit safer. And it also helps keep litter out of the out of your landfill and keeps a little vial of mercury from seeping into the soil. So what you need to do is you need to find an old thermostat. The kind I'm talking about were used in the before about 1990, and they have a little vial of mercury inside. So what you do is you take a large nutmeg and bore a hole through it. You can use a drill, you can carve it out with a knife, doesn't really matter, just be careful because nutmegs like to split. Then you put the little vial of mercury from that old thermostat into the hole that's been made and fit it in snugly. And then seal it off with either glue or, since the traditional thing is green wax, you can seal it off with wax. Do be aware that unless you get a very, very large nutmeg, a little bit of the glass will be sticking out on either side. Basically, what happens is the nutmeg keeps the glass vial safe from breaking because it cushions it, it pads it, and you have your mercury inside of a nutmeg. I usually make a little sachet out of a $2 bill, and stick the fixed nutmeg inside it for good luck. So yeah, that is how you make a modern safe fixed nutmeg. I hope to talk to you all later. Bye.
Fortune-telling man, sung by Silas Leachman. Lordy, I tell you, there's no use in talking. I've got them faded on telling the past, the present, and the future. Man coming across the water. Mm-hmm, that's what he is. In an old big house, just as quiet as a mouse, I sit and occasionally read about old Mars. And in the dead of night, without a speck of light, I have gathered through the window all the stars. In early in the morning, just before the break of dawn, I get what little rest in that I can. Yes, I must be up, you see, meeting folks what comes to me. They all come to see that fortune-telling man. I am the fortune-telling man. There's no kind of dream that I can understand. I can tell your future by looking.
Hi guys, this is Corey, and I wanted to share one spell that I have used fairly often. It's something I kind of perpetually do, which is carrying a bay leaf. I think you probably have heard bay leaves mentioned at least in one other spell for this spell book, but I really like using bay leaves in magic. They tend to represent victory and success. They can also bring prosperity. So the way that I generally use bay leaves, I try to get the biggest sort of whole bay leaves I can, which oftentimes means that you're kind of getting the slightly higher end ones in the spice section of your store. We used to, when I was growing up, we actually used to have a little bay laurel tree that we would bring in during the winter, and it sort of sat in our sunroom and things like that. So, you know, could use fresh bay leaves as well. And we always have bay leaves on hand. I use them for cooking and seasoning as well. So I have, you know, a jar of bay leaves pretty much anytime I need it. And what I'll do is I will take the bay leaf out and I will mark on it. You can use you can use a pen. You have to be a little careful because bay leaves can be very, very brittle when they're dry. So you don't want to use something that's going to, you know, require a lot of pressure to make a mark. You know, a Sharpie, a soft sort of soft-tipped Sharpie works pretty well. And you just write write, you know, what it is that you need help with. So you could write money or prosperity on it. You could draw little dollar sign symbols or something like that, and put that in your wallet, and that will help keep you. It won't necessarily do anything in terms of, it's not like going to make you win the lottery or anything, but it tends to, I've found anyway, sort of keep you in a stable level of finance. You may not, you know, it's not like you can, you know, go out and buy anything that you want, but you find that you have the money available to meet your needs most of the time. So that's one way that I use it. It just sort of staves off poverty in that way. And then another thing I'll do is whenever I have really, really particular things that I want tremendous success with. So, for example, first day of teaching a new class for me, or, you know, if I'm going to a job interview, something like that, I will put a bay leaf in my shoe, usually under the sole, because they can be quite pointy. So if you put it where your foot's going to feel it the whole time, that can be a little bit of an issue. But, you know, sometimes that's, you know, it's a good thing. You actually kind of want to feel it there. So I don't know. And when I do that, I usually will write the word victory on it. And sometimes I'll say, you know, maybe Psalm 65 over it as well, for this sort of sense of success that I want. And I'll slip that into my shoe, and then just be walking on that all day as a way of sort of bringing good fortune and victory my way whenever I have a task that I think I need that little extra push to help with. So that is my use of bay leaves.
Hello, Lane, Corey, and everyone else. So my favorite spell to do is my variation of a witch's honey jar. I actually performed this one recently for my fiancé and myself as a wealth gathering and good luck spell. So before I do any spell work, I always quote-unquote clean my working space, which is usually my bedroom. I'll light a candle and play some music to set the mood and to get me into the right mindset. I then will set out my four specially embroidered squares around me that represent the directions and elements as a way of focusing my mind and gathering energy to myself for the spell. As a side note, I often use embroidery as like a type of knot spell, and it works pretty well. It's also just fun to do. Once I feel that I'm ready to start, I'll gather together just a few common household items. I try not to ever buy anything for spell work, because I find that things that have surrounded me for a longer period of time tend to be better attuned to my own energy and produce better results than stuff I buy. Also, not to mention it's cheaper and more convenient. So for my honey jar spell, I grabbed like a small opaque screw-on jar from the kitchen, and I placed inside a shiny beaded necklace that I won at a party, a few small coins, a key ring to represent the new house me and my fiancé are in the process of buying, and the truck we hope to buy in the future. I put in sugar to sweeten the jar, and a few loose whiskers my cat has left me around the house for more added good luck. I then shut the jar tightly and held it in my hands. I usually will spend some time to try and charge the jar, focus on the jar. Usually I'll sit quietly, but for this specific time I actually danced around the room to some music and was shaking the jar to the beat. Afterwards, I put the jar away on my shelf and left it there so I would see it every day. I try and usually take a moment every day to pick it up and shake it and focus on what I'm expecting from it. Because it's opaque, no one else knows what's inside, and I can leave it there with no questions. As a result of this spell, so far the process of buying a house has been smooth and painless. We should be settling in about 2 weeks. Also, my fiancé has a new job interview on Thursday for a company that he has been applying to for over 10 years, so I would say it's working pretty good. I'm definitely looking forward to hearing about other people's spells and maybe seeing if I want to incorporate them in my own practice. Farewell, and good fortune be with you.
Hey there, Corey and Lane. This is Katriana McDonald from the Druid's Well, and I'm sending you a submission for your second round of the audio spell book. This is a variation on a honey jar spell that I've used while traveling and don't have a honey jar handy. All you need to do is write the target's name on a piece of paper, preferably in red ink, and then smear a bit of honey over the name. What's nice about this is you can even find little packets of honey often in restaurants or truck stops if you need to. Then recite the following chant over the piece of paper as you focus on the target. Sun's sweet strength and jubilee, honey, smooth the way for me. Sweeten tongue and soften mind, gift of bees, our wills align. Let this think you well of me, as I will, so must it be. And dispose of the paper either in running water or in fire, whatever you have handy, and release the spell.
Guys, Lane again. My next one is an oldie but a goodie. I feel like a lot of people have heard about this, but it really did work for me way back in the day. This was one of the first spells I ever did. And it is cord magic. And I actually used it to do a little bit of weather magic to sort of help the snow along. I remembered that I really wanted a snow day that day, or the next day, I suppose. So you start with just a piece of ribbon or a cord that you have lying around the house. I've always been pretty crafty, so I just had that, you know, in some odds and ends. And I remember it was a white cord, obviously, for snow. So you choose your cord, the length of your cord. I hear a lot of people say 13 inches, but I don't think mine was. I think I just used whatever I had. So, you tie knots strategically along the ribbon or the cord. One starting at one end, two starting at the very other end, three directly in the middle, and then four in between one and three, and so on like that until you get to nine. And with each knot, you say a particular rhyme to kind of help charge the knot, and it binds that your will, I suppose, into this ribbon or cord. So I'm going to go through that now. By knot of one, the spell's begun. By knot of two, my words are true. By knot of three, so shall it be. By knot of four, power in store. By knot of five, the spell's alive. By knot of six, the spell is fixed. By knot of seven, the answer's given. By knot of eight, I meld with fate. By knot of nine, it is mine. Now clearly, you know, you can change that around to whatever works best for you. I remember whichever one I read first was a little bit kind of froofier in the language. Like with knot of two, it was "it cometh true," which, you know, doesn't really feel right for me, so I've changed it. But you could change yours to however works for you, and it doesn't necessarily have to rhyme. I just think that works best to help remember for some people. And like I said, I feel like that's the one that a lot of people know, but it really did work for me, and I've had a lot of success with cord magic, and I hope it works for you too.
Hey guys, Corey. So this is a crazy, crazy simple spell. It's based very, very loosely on some practices you can find in certain versions of hoodoo or conjure work from the south. I think you'd also find it manifested in a couple of other different forms of folk magic, but it's a fairly broad version of a spell. This is one I've used a few times, okay, true confession time. I occasionally get really, really, really busy, and sometimes I don't, get to the, testing center or whatever to get my, emissions tested or whatever for my tag renewal on my car, right? And I don't get that done quite in time. You know, I try to get it done as close to the date as possible, but sometimes, you wind up running over an extra few weeks. And you don't want to get pulled over, or you know that you're going to be kind of running late. And I'm not saying that you're speeding, but you maybe are certainly in a hurry. At any rate, not advocating recklessness in any way, broadly speaking, but just saying sometimes that you are kind of living at the edges of what you're supposed to be doing, not necessarily completely shirking what you're supposed to be doing. So this is a spell that kind of takes the idea of law keep away spells and brings them into your car, being a very important kind of 20th, 21st century, we'll call it quite a necessity, I don't think it's quite that, but something that a lot of people have, and that's very important to a lot of people, that you'd be able to use your car unmolested and go from point A to point B. So there used to be this thing where if you were doing dubious business, for example, and you're out of your household, you might take a bunch of what were called Indian head pennies. They were pennies that had the profile of a Native American on one side, and you would nail them up around your door. The more you would nail up around your door, the more protected you would be. So this kind of uses a similar idea. I'm sure you could use the Indian head pennies to do this, but I actually find what I really like to do is there are a lot of newer pennies that have a shield on the back of them. And so you can take those pennies and you just simply rub each penny and ask it to protect you as you travel from one place to another. Ask it to keep the eyes of the law away from you as you move from your home to your destination, or move from point A to point B. Just say, let the shield cover me over, let me go unseen by those who would seek to do me harm, those who would seek to delay me in my cause. Sometimes I'll even just say a brief little prayer to Saint Raphael, the Archangel, who sometimes is represented by a shield, and just basically rub the penny and then put it with the shield side up on the dashboard. I like to put them where I can see the reflection of the penny in the windshield as I'm driving, so I can see that little shield kind of reflected in the glass of my car. And I've used one, I've used three. You can do more than that. You could probably do 7, 9, 13, any number that feels right to you. I generally am not, trying to just cover the dashboard over with pennies, although I'm sure that would work really, really well, actually. I don't glue them in place. You certainly could find a way to stick them in place if you want to perpetually keep people kind of away from your car that might sort of be getting into your business. I think you could probably also do this along the door as well if you wanted to do that. Again, I don't glue them into place. I just put them where I can see them, and sometimes if I'm taking a sharp turn for whatever reason, they may slide off the dash, in which case I kind of take that as a warning to slow up my pace, to be really, really careful, to watch out, and just try to be on my very, very best behavior in the car at that point. And oftentimes that will be the moment where I'm like, oh, there's Smokey right there waiting behind that tree. So at any rate, not a crazy difficult spell, not a hard spell to do, something you can do in a matter of seconds, really, once you kind of get in the habit of it, just, grabbing a penny, putting it on your dashboard if you rub it and ask it for protection. But super simple, super easy to do, and something that I think a lot of people can get some use out of. So hope that helps somebody out there, and enjoy it.
One of my favorite spells using everyday household items is a payoff debt spell. All you need is one bay leaf, some dried basil, and a green candle of any kind, as well as a pen. All you have to do is light the candle and sprinkle the basil into the flame while envisioning your need manifesting, whatever that may be. Then write your need on the bay leaf and say these words. Let cash flow in instead of out, so our debt we will be without. Let our savings grow and bills be paid, our urge to spend soon to fade, so mote it be. And say that three times through. Then burn the bay leaf into the flame and snuff the candle when you're done.
The Apple Peeling, from The Silver Bullet by Hubert Davis. This is based on a story by James Bickley, age 78, of Pins Fork, Kentucky, recorded June 10th, 1940. He had heard the story from his grandfather when he was a little boy. The Apple Peeling. It was a well-established custom in the Cumberland Mountains of southeastern Kentucky for the women of a community to assemble at one another's homes to help with such chores as peeling apples, making apple butter, stringing beans, and quilting. So, when Old Nan Seeley let it be known throughout Redbird Valley that she wanted to have an apple peeling on Friday, about 15 women showed up at her house early in the morning. To tell the truth, none of them dared stay away, because Old Nan was thought to be a witch, and all of them were afraid that, if they did stay away, they would invite trouble. Although Old Nan was fully aware of her besmirched reputation, she tried to put up a good front. She displayed her hospitality as soon as they had all arrived by serving them milk and cookies. Before long, the milk supply ran low, and Old Nan picked up the pitcher and slipped out the back door to get a fresh supply. Hattie Mullins, who was a meddlesome busybody, was very curious to know where Nan was getting the milk from, since she didn't have a cow. So Hattie sneaked into the kitchen, hid behind the door, and peeped through the crack. She saw Nan pull on a knotted string, which pulled down a peg on the wall just outside the kitchen door. A stream of fresh milk poured out from the peg into the pitcher. Hattie was afraid of being caught snooping, so she left her observation post before she saw what Nan had done to cut off the milk flow. Nan returned to the front room and served the women all the fresh milk they could drink. Later in the morning, Nan went to her backyard to stir the apples cooking in the big iron kettle to make apple butter. Hattie Mullins wanted another drink of milk, but she found the pitcher was empty. It occurred to her that she might try the same milk source Nan had used. So she slipped quietly out the door and pulled the knotted string and filled the pitcher from the peg. Then, just as she thought Nan had done, she removed the string and put the peg back in its original position. But, to her dismay, the milk continued to flow. Turn the peg as she might, out came milk and more milk. Hattie panicked and yelled to the women to bring her some pans to catch the milk. They brought her all the pails and pans they could find in the kitchen, but soon they were all full. They went back and emptied the apples on the floor and brought her the apple containers, but soon they too were filled. At the height of the confusion, old Nan appeared. She was white with rage and scowling like thunder. In a voice that shook the roof, she shrieked, "You damned idiots! Why can't you mind your own business? Don't you know that you've drawn all the milk from every cow in the valley? Now not one of you will get a drop of milk from your cows tonight." Nan put the string back on the milk peg and turned off the stream of milk. She removed the string and made Hattie and the others pour all the milk out onto the ground. Then she took the string inside and threw it on the fire. It spewed and cracked, and as it burned, each knot exploded like a shot and splashed hot embers about the room. Each explosion released the most foul and putrid odor they'd ever smelled. They began to cough and sneeze and ran from the house. Nan called out after them, "You'll all pay dearly for this as long as you live." That story. I thought that would be a fun way to sort of finish out our little grimoire. If you read many magical books, spell books, grimoires, things like that, you'll know that oftentimes they contain little bits of narrative or little bits of a story. Sometimes that'll even sort of frame the way that the book is written. For example, The Black Pullet is very much written as sort of a diary account of learning magic. And that story I kind of enjoy. You get to hear a little bit about a piece of folk magic, the knotted string tied around the peg being used to steal milk, which was a very, very common belief. It was one of those things was used as evidence against witches and witchcraft and things like that in early American history quite a lot. It was also one of those things where it was certainly theft, but it was one of the less diabolical and horrible things that witches could do. Stealing milk was kind of seen as, it was bad, but it wasn't, you weren't killing anybody, so that was good. And the other thing I like about this story is that if you've ever read, for example, the Stray Ganona stories of Tommy de Paola, probably kind of recognize the way that that story works. That's very, very similar to the first Stray Ganona book, where she has the pasta pot that she simply says, "Bubble, bubble, pasta pot, boil some pasta nice and hot. I'm hungry, it's time to sup, so boil some pasta to fill me up." and it will make as much pasta as she wants, but then she has to blow 3 kisses to the pasta pot to make it stop. And she's hired a local boy as her helper, and he sees how the pasta pot works, but he doesn't see how to shut it off effectively. So one day when Strakenona wanders away on an errand, he tries to feed the whole village from the pasta pot, but he can't shut it off, and so the whole village gets flooded with pasta. And in that one, they sort of use the ending's a little less dark than in this one. She's not quite cursing after the fellow. When she discovers what's happened with the pasta pot, she comes back, she turns off the pasta pot, but then she just gives him a fork and says, "All right, you wanted pasta, now eat." So she makes him eat all the pasta. So it's a slightly funnier version of that same idea. But at any rate, I just thought that would be kind of a nice way to close out this whole grimoire adventure, and I hope that the audio spell book, both the first one and this one, are something that maybe you enjoy. If you do enjoy it, please feel free at any time. You can give us a spell. You can either email us a spell. That's certainly an easy way to do it if you have the ability to create, for example, MP3s or WAV files. That's definitely one way that you can send us your spell. The other way that you can get your spell to us is you can call our hotline, and the phone number for that is 442-999-4824. That's 442-99-WITCH. And if you call that, you'll get our voicemail. You can leave us your favorite spells as well there. It's one of those things where if you do that, we're able to put these kinds of things together pretty often. We do, run contests from time to time. This spell book was done by making it into a contest, so sometimes we do that. If we ever do make something into a contest, and you've left us a spell in the in-between time, most of the time we're going to go ahead and count anything you've sent as an entry for that contest. So don't feel like you have to wait for a contest to send something in. You can certainly send something in. So yeah, if you want to reach us, that's certainly one great way to do it. 442-999-4824. That's 442-99-WITCH. Call now. I was going to say call now. Operators are standing by, but then I kind of fudged that. So at any rate, yes, you can leave us a message there. You can follow us at Twitter or on Facebook. You can email us at compassandkey@gmail.com. And of course, you can find out lots about us, lots about what we do, lots about the podcast, lots about American folk magic, which if you've listened to this and you liked anything you've heard, I would really recommend going to newworldwitchery.com. So at any rate, I think that's going to do it for us for tonight. Again, thank you so much to everyone who contributed to this. We really, really appreciate it. This is always just a delight to hear what people are doing, what kind of magic they've got going on in their lives, and sharing that with everyone else. I think that's just fantastic. So thank you so much to everybody who contributed. That will do it for us for tonight. We should be back again later this month with another episode, and you also should be watching the blog and other things as well. We may have some other announcements and important things going on, so that does help to keep an eye on us, because we're always doing something. So at any rate, thank you again, everybody. Please, if you like our show, consider stopping by our Patreon page, patreon.com/newworldwitchery. Dropping $1 a month, whatever you can afford, into the hat always helps. You can get some great rewards that way too, and it does help us to make the show better, stronger, faster, more magical. So again, thank you so much. We love you all, and have a good night. Be well. New World Witchery is a Patreon-supported podcast. We'd like to thank our sponsors for this episode:
Diana Carino, Renee Otters,
E. Old Magic Shop, Raven Darkmoon,
Ivory, The Witch's View Podcast,
Sarah, Molly,
Jen Rue of Rue and Hyssop, Athena Beth,
Catherine, Shannon, Little Wren, Corvus, and Jessica. Thanks so much.
Thank you.